Good morning, Texas. Welcome to Justice for All, the Wyatt Wright Show. I'm Wyatt Wright, and this show is about our rights and the laws that govern us. Laws you've heard of and care about and would certainly miss if they were gone. I've spent half a lifetime watching government go from trying to do what's right and failing to trying to do what's wrong and succeeding. Every year, more and more of our personal rights are erased from the books while Americans stand idly by. And it's not because we don't care. Of course we care, but we're awfully busy feeding our families and raising our kids. While we're busying ourselves with life, the metaphorical water temperature's rising all around us, like that frog that gets boiled without knowing it. On this show, we discuss the legal issues that affect you and me, the people of Texas. We take a hard look at the laws that affect your freedom, your ability to access the courts, to vote, to speak freely, or really, in short, to live the American dream. Stick around. Today, we'll be joined in the studio by attorney and Texas Supreme Court candidate Michelle Petty. Let's jump right in and get wet. All right. The current makeup of our Texas Supreme Court has been put in place by corporate interests. Corporate interests who want victories doled out to large corporations and to punish the hardworking citizens in Texas who dare to challenge their actions. Don't believe me? Take a look at the history. Look at their record. These decisions completely rip apart. They devastate. They destroy lives every week in Texas. And all these effects will be felt by you and me, our neighbors, our kids, and our grandkids. That bothers me, and I'm sure it bothers you too. How can we be letting this happen? We've talked on this show before about the completely ridiculous rulings from the Supreme Court in the last decade. We've talked about the fact that from 2004 to 2010, the Texas Supreme Court reversed 74% of jury verdicts between ordinary people and mega corporations. We've talked about the fact that this court has bastardized the law to such a degree that 150 years of precedent has been erased and law schools have thrown their books away. We've talked about the fact that the law has changed more radically in the last 10 years than it has in its entire history in Texas. We've talked about the fact that our current justices have absolutely abominable records when it comes to consumer verdict or consumer opinions. Absolutely abominable. In short, it is hard to escape any conclusion other than the Texas Supreme Court is agenda-driven, and in doing so, it sullied its own name and sounds more like a special interest lobbyist group than the highest court in our state. Joining us to discuss this issue today, ladies and gentlemen, is Michelle Petty. Michelle is currently a candidate for the Texas Supreme Court. She's a board-certified attorney who's also a top graduate of Baylor Law School. Ms. Petty is known for representing victims of child molestation, sexual assault, and sexual harassment. She's born and raised right here in San Antonio, Texas. Ms. Petty has been inducted into the San Antonio Women's Hall of Fame, and she's been recognized by publications such as the National Law Journal and Texas Lawyer. Wow, I'm out of breath after that one. Michelle Petty, thank you for joining us today on the Wyatt Wright Show.
Thank you, Wyatt. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm concerned about what's going on at the Texas Supreme Court. You know, you were talking about concerns about some of the cases and whether they are slanted towards businesses. Well, there was a study done, and Walmart took 12 appeals up.
12 appeals.
And they won.
And they won.
All 12 times.
Let me guess. On the other side were individual, independent Texans.
I can't tell you all about the facts
of
each
surprised.
And every one
I
of them.
Be surprised.
But, you know, in law professor David Anderson did that study, and he found that of 81 other appeals across the country in other states, Walmart only won 56% of the time.
I see. A little more balanced, perhaps.
A little bit different result, and that's kind of interesting.
Well, now, okay, so you've thrown it out there. We're talking about the pro consumer opinions out of the Texas Supreme Court.
I'm sorry, pro corporate.
I tried to say corporate, and you caught me, and I'm glad you're here for that. But tell us this: why are you running? I mean, why did you say, let me pick up this flag and let me go forward and put my hat in the ring?
I am running because the people of Texas, the working people that I have represented for the last 27 years, they need a voice on this court, and they don't have it right now. Right now, we have special interests controlling that court. One of the justices who ran raised and spent $1.4 million in the primary.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
I mean, who gives that kind of money to a judge without expecting dividends? And let me tell you, he's been paying dividends for them because he has been voting their way right and left. And, you know, they have an easy way of telegraphing to him how they want him to vote, because mm-hmm. they will have one of their front organizations file what's called an amicus brief. Mm-hmm. And that's a friend of the court brief, and it's legal. And anybody can file one.
Sure.
And so they just file one, and they tell him how to vote, and he does.
I understand. And but this isn't unique necessarily to the judicial system, is it? I mean, we've talked in the show about the Citizens United decision. We've talked about money in politics. Isn't this something that we're now facing across the board? The Texas Supreme Court races are simply just another one.
Well, they are, but it's not just them actually going out and buying a judge, saying,
right.
okay, we want, you know, we've got a judge here for sale, $1.4 million, no problem. They're also going in, you may have heard of ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council.
Certainly.
That goes in and submits model legislation in the state houses across the country to try to protect big business from the consequences of their wrongdoing.
Okay.
Well, they've got a sister act going called the Pacific Legal Foundation.
All right.
And that's a group out of California. And it turns out they have been influencing the Texas Supreme Court for years, and it's flying completely under the radar. They have not only brought cases against Texas residents, against the people of Texas, to present their way and get their way, but they've been filing these amicus briefs, these friend of the court briefs, and telling the court how to rule, and the court's basically been rubber stamping it. Mm-hmm. And so what have they done? They didn't just overturn the Open Beaches Act and take away the people's right to walk the beach in Texas.
Yeah, that's insane, right.
Yeah, that was one of the big hits they did. They actually represented a California investor in that case. But recently, they just represented Big Pharma, big drug company, Centicorp, versus Hamilton, and they took away a jury verdict from an injured woman. And they've now made the law with the Texas Supreme Court that big drug companies do not have to tell us, the consumers, what the side effects or the risks to our health are of their drugs.
Yeah.
And so we have to rely on a doctor. Well, a lot of doctors are just running people through like cattle and
right.
won't even talk to a lot of folks.
And you're right. And that's been a real problem. We covered that on a show, in fact, not too long ago. And the thing that was driving me crazy, and it still drives me crazy, is that in these types of cases, we're dealing with a completely changed playing field. I mean, now drug companies are marketing direct to consumers. I mean, they're coming into our living rooms at night on the TV, and you've got patients showing up at their doctor's office saying, "I want X drug," and so it changes the whole dynamic. It's no longer just the doctor trying to figure out what pharmacologically is the best thing for his patient.
Absolutely, Wyatt. I mean, what doctor's going to say, no, you can't have that drug if that person's in there pounding saying, I want that.
Yeah.
So they don't spend a whole lot of time going over the risks with them. And the thing is that now these drug companies are immune from suit.
Correct, correct.
And guess what? The doctors, their liability is capped really low. So the poor person who's injured as a result of this company, I mean, basically, not providing us enough information to make our own decisions about our own bodies, this Supreme Court is so, I think, rude and disrespectful to the people of Texas. I mean, they're basically saying, public of Texas, public citizens, Texas citizens, you're too stupid to know what's in your best interest.
Right. Well, that's certainly that. You know, this is really a theme. I mean, that's a great example of this type of case. This anti-consumer trend that we've been seeing out of the Texas Supreme, it's been reported on. In fact, one consumer watchdog group, which I'm very fond of, Texas Watch, issued their Dirty Dozen of the last decade, and frankly, I think the only one with the Dirty Dozen is reference to the movie, because it was really the Dirty 30. You know, I mean, it should have been some other number.
There was a lot more
out there, but you've got to pick. And when you do, what do you do to put these in order? But here's something that bothers me. What bothers me is that there doesn't even seem to be a consideration or a care in the world for any public reaction, blowback, to the Supreme Court's rulings. I mean, these rulings are so, so afield of what most Texans would say makes common sense that I wonder if they've just gotten to the point, since nobody's calling them to task on it other than maybe a few people in the state, that they just don't even care what the public lash back. Do you think that's true?
I absolutely think that's true. They do not give any concern or credence to the public, and they feel that they are really safe from losing their job because they really feel like, hey, it's a 9-0 Republican court. It's been 9-0 Republican for 18 years. And so, you know, they're their own little, you know, private club up there, and they can do anything they want to.
I mean, has it always been that way? You clerked at the Supreme Court.
I clerked at the Supreme Court.
Is this the culture that's always existed, or is this something that has gotten much worse now, where there's just absolute no regard for the public outcry of any type of opinion?
Well, when I was there, the justices certainly were concerned, a number of them, about justice and doing the right thing and making sure that the public's interests were protected. And there was definitely concern on that court when I worked there 28 years ago, but we don't see that anymore.
Okay, so I can understand differences of opinion. I can understand differences of interpretation when you're dealing with folks who are genuinely trying to do the right thing and help folks. But what is most disturbing about the trends that you see statistically out of the Supreme Court is that it appears to be agenda driven, not merely ill-guided or misguided opinions by folks who are otherwise trying to do well. I mean, is this culture one that is just going to continue under our current framework?
Absolutely. If we don't send a message to these guys now and in November, it's only going to get worse. Just a couple of weeks ago, they came down with a case where they took a jury verdict of punitive damages away from a man who was fired for refusing to do an illegal act. And what that illegal act was, to drive improperly on the highways a load of unsafe steel. And they ordered him to do it. And this is a pattern and practice with this company. The jury heard facts that he had previously warned them that it was illegal, that it was unsafe, that it was dangerous. He pointed out the problems to him. They ignored him, ordered him to drive anyway.
Right.
Second time out, he warns them, look, this is really bad. I can get a ticket for this. This is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore him. They send him out anyway, and he gets a ticket. That goes on his commercial driving license. He brings it back to him and says, look, you know, can you do something about this? Can you fix this? Well, do they care? Absolutely not. They load him up again, and the straps are frayed. The steel is out of balance, and he warns them, this is an accident waiting to happen. They send him out anyway. He goes out. I mean, within 2 miles, the steel shifts. And he doesn't wreck, but he knows it's going to, because it's really difficult. He takes it back and he says, I'm out of this cab. This is going to kill somebody.
Right,
this is dangerous. Well, they fired him.
Got it. They fired
him for abandoning his job. They put another schmuck under the wheel to go out. That steel shifted and came through the cab. It could have killed you.
Yeah.
It could have killed your child who was out on the driving on the road. It could have killed anybody.
Well, you know,
it could have killed that man.
You're right. And in fact, one of the cases that we covered recently is the story of Michelle Gaines, who most of Texas has heard now. I mean, it's been covered in the New York Times. It's been covered by CNN. This poor girl is out there, and she gets hit by a truck, by an 18-wheeler, whose brakes haven't been touched in 2.5 years. The driver doesn't have a license. The owner of the company put him out there knowing that he shouldn't have been on the road. This girl is completely ripped apart, part of her brain sheared off. I mean, she's never going to be the same. She needs lifelong care. She gets an $8 million verdict, which is not that much. I mean, it's like $130,000 a year if you amortize it out over the rest of her life, and she needs live-in care and all these things. So what ends up happening is the Supreme Court throws out that award and says that you can't have circumstantial evidence that, by the way, corruption occurred. There were bribes. There was destruction of evidence. And in this case, we've got the company, the trucking company, set fire to its own office, burned the records down. There's evidence of that. There's evidence of $96,000 in payments by one defendant to the other defendant the day before the fire occurs, and then they melt down and chop up the evidence of the truck. I mean, when that happens, that was submitted to the jury, and the Texas Supreme Court says you can't have circumstantial evidence. The only time you can do that is if you get caught red-handed. that is the same type of thing that we're talking about exactly. In the case you just mentioned. You're allowing a course of conduct. You're allowing a type of behavior that, yes, it's bad in this case, but it's setting the stage for everybody to act badly.
And there is no deterrence. There is no deterrence anymore. I mean, now we're going to have exploding Pintos all over the place, and people are going to be killed and maimed.
Right.
And the companies responsible for it are not going to have to pay for it because of rulings that have come down out of the Texas Supreme Court. And Wyatt, let me tell you this. There's another case which involves cattle rustling.
Okay.
And again, that same group of characters out of California, Pacific Legal Foundation, weighed in on that one and filed a brief on that one and told them to take away the punitive damages in that case because, again, there was evidence of destruction of documents, witness intimidation, attempted bribery, and all kinds of misconduct
just
that
horrible.
The jury heard. And the Supreme Court says that's not enough evidence for punitive damages. This is a pattern, and they're telegraphing to the defense and the big businesses that, hey, it's okay to destroy your evidence because we're going to protect you
sure,
on
and,
that.
And Texas, I mean, that's not what we deserve in Texas. That's not what Texans deserve. And I think the average citizen would join us in saying that that's ridiculous. It's really a matter of educating folks as to what's going on out there. If you're just joining us and just tuning in, just a reminder, this is Justice for All, the Wyatt Wright Show. We're talking and pointing out various instances of laws that are ripping away your ability to access justice, not only in Texas, but around the nation. We're joined today in studio by Texas Supreme Court candidate and attorney Michelle Petty. Now, Ms. Petty, let's just talk about a couple of these and throw them out there for discussion because the list is long, and I know that if you and I wanted to sit down and talk about, we could spend a day on each of these. Recently, we talked about a case, and it drives me nuts. The Texas Supreme Court allowed this to stand where an axle comes off of an 18-wheeler, goes through a man's windshield and causes catastrophic injury to him, and they said that axle wasn't part of that 18-wheeler because it had come loose. And as such, the uninsured motorist protection was not available for that.
It's just unbelievable. They are rewriting these policies that in the old days, the law was construed that you construed the insurance policy against the company that wrote it.
Right.
And
right.
Now they're rewriting statutes, and that's not the only case they've done it in. They did it in Lancer Insurance Company versus Garcia Holiday Tours out of Alice, Texas. They rewrote the policy. That man paid $146,000 for that policy.
Right.
And they said, no, they don't have to defend him.
They've done it several times. We've got Progressive versus Kelly in 2009, Feist versus State Farm Lloyds in 2006, undermining policyholders by saying that when there's anything unclear or when coverage is at issue in a contract, in an insurance policy contract, public policy has always said that you must find in favor of coverage. And they said, nope, it's exactly the opposite.
Now
we're going to find against any type of coverage. Isn't that horrible? Now, how about this one? This is one that drives me nuts. It's Boyles versus Kerr. In this case, we had a boyfriend who secretly videotaped himself having sex with his girlfriend. You've got this surreptitious videotaping of a private deal, and the Texas Supreme Court held that there's no duty to not negligently inflict emotional distress. I mean, this is the type of court that says we're not interested in common sense. We want to make sure that we shut down causes of action. Why am I bringing this up? I want to ask you this question. Is the goal not just to beholden to the corporate interest, but to eliminate causes of action and reduce a plaintiff's ability to seek justice?
Absolutely. They are reducing causes of action right and left. And in that case, to take away the negligent infliction mm-hmm. of emotional distress, protected USAA from having to pay for that bad conduct.
So there's the motivation.
So there you go. That's how they come up with that. And recently, they just did it in a case out of El Paso where the employers knew that this guy was on meth, and he was on meth because he was being worked 12 hours a day in 106 really hot degree
sure.
heat, and they knew he was a problem. They knew he was having really serious personality changes. He was making threats. He was violent. He said he was going to kill his wife. And, a police officer stepped, they let him go, and they knew he was doing you know, going to do somebody some harm.
Some sort of harm.
And sure enough, he shoots a guy and trying to protect the wife stepping in. And the jury heard all the facts about the responsibility of that company. And they found serious liability and serious damages. The Court of Appeals heard all the facts, reviewed everything and affirmed that. The Supreme Court, again at the behest of Pacific Legal Foundation, this out-of-state group same characters of Alec, is told them, don't pay that, create no liability, no duty. Hey, they have no duty as soon as he walks off the job. They did it in another case as well and eliminated a cause of action when this company had worked a guy double shifts day after day like a dog and then send him out when he's asleep on his feet and let him go out to drive out and kill somebody and fall asleep at the wheel, which is exactly what happens. But no duty, they can't be held liable anymore.
Here, you know, and here we are, and we've got nine justices on the Texas Supreme Court. These people are obviously human beings. I mean, they live in the same world we do. What am I missing? I mean, help me with this, and maybe it's a rhetorical question. I don't know. What is it about people that would motivate them to say, I'm going to hold in a way that puts my family in danger, that puts my kids and grandkids in danger, because this ruling is not in the best interest of Texas? Let me rephrase it. Are their motivations honest and sincere, but merely misguided from one perspective, or are they, you think, objectively misguided?
Why do you go there?
How can you do that is what I'm wondering.
You're going to have to ask some of them because it's just bizarre, some of their rulings. And
sure.
I think some of it is they're not understanding the consequences, or else they have completely sold the people of Texas out.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you just look at the money. You know, where's the money gone?
Well, the one thing we know for sure is that the opinions coming out of there are decidedly anti-consumer, decidedly anti-average Texan, and decidedly pro-big business.
Absolutely. They're against employees. Why, they just handed Dr. Chaffa, you know, her head on a platter. Here we have, some people may have seen Lilly Ledbetter on TV during the Democratic National Convention, and the Supreme Court of Texas, in a similar situation, says, no, we're not going to apply the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act and do the right thing by Dr. Chaffa, a professor at Prairie View A&M who was being paid less than her male counterparts. And she'd been paid less for several years. And so, as a result of that, she's now sentenced to being paid less indefinitely.
So gender discrimination in Texas is okay.
It's alive and well if you're a state employee.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely?
You know, if you miss filing within 180 days, you can forget it. You're going to be discriminated against forever.
That rubs Texans the wrong way. I don't even need to look out the window to tell right now there are people shaking their hands driving down the road. And we see more of these. We've got so many to talk about. We can't even get to them all, but one of them that drives me nuts is this NRA Weekly Homes. I mean, here we've got a case where doesn't have anything to do with personal injury, but we've got a case where we've got the Texas Supreme Court saying, by the way, you can be held liable to a contract even if you didn't sign or enter into a contract. How incredibly absurd is that from a court who has gone to great length to say what's in a contract matters and we need to enforce it to the nth degree? Insane?
Insane. But you know, when you follow the money and you find out who's funded the PAC,
sure, you see where it's
you
from.
You see that it comes from the CEO of Weekly Homes. And so, I mean, it's a continuing problem. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to Perry, the Perry Homes, well, they get out of having to go to arbitration. Everybody else has to go to arbitration. But when they lose, and have to pay big bucks, then all of a sudden the Supreme Court bails them out.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that's almost expected. We've got a case where a person was threatened under the thumb of losing her job. You're going to lose your job if you don't sign your waive your right to go to a jury if you ever have a dispute with me as an employer. The person doesn't sign it because they say, look, they fire the person. The Texas Supreme Court says, by the way, that's not coercion. Threatening to fire somebody because they won't sign this is not coercion. I don't know how you get there. What about the case that weakens the DTPA? For those of you out there who know that the Deceptive Trade Practices Act protects people for things that are done fraudulently, fraudulently by people selling items, it doesn't extend if you're a secondary buyer. It only applies to the first buyer of a product. These are the things that I think you're talking about that we need shake up in Austin.
We definitely need to shake this stuff up in Austin. And, I mean, the court is just absolutely out of control. In Ruttinger, they just rewrote the law. The legislature did not
case.
You know, put that in the statute.
Yeah, workers' comp taking away the ability to, and you're referring to being able to go after an insurance company who provides workers' compensation benefits for bad faith. Can't do that in Texas anymore.
And it's insane. So what it's done, it's given license to comp carriers to cut people's benefits off.
Certainly.
And if they do, and you lose your house, and you lose the equity in your home and everything you've got, too bad. You can't ever receive any money for it from the carrier.
Yeah. Now, listen, we're going to get ready to wrap up here. Give us some closing comments. Tell us what we need to be doing in November.
Well, you need to get out and vote. You can't sit back. Your vote is your voice, and you need to speak up. And you've got to remember that these judicial races are really important. These guys have the trump cards. They're
right.
Rewriting the law that was meant to protect you. And if you don't do anything about it, you're going to lose even more of your rights.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on our show today. Miss Michelle Petty, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Michelle Petty's a board-certified San Antonio attorney and is currently a candidate for the Texas Supreme Court. Make sure you go out and vote no matter what you do in November. It's important to America and it's important to Texas. People are losing their access to justice every week. If we're not all held accountable for our actions, then, well, everything will mean very little indeed, and our children will be in trouble. We're going to have to wrap up this show, but as you go through your week, remember that it was Justice Learned Hand who so famously said, if we are to keep our democracy, there must be one commandment, thou shalt not ration justice. Have a good day, everybody. Come visit us on the web, WyattWrightShow.com. Like us on Facebook or go over to the iTunes store and get the podcast. Talk to you next week right here on Justice for All, The Wyatt Wright Show. Bye.